Let us pray. For this beautiful day, dear Lord, for the sun and the warmth and the promise of spring, we give you thanks. For that ice that's turning black that we know will soon be melting away, dear Lord, we give you thanks for your creation and for the beauty of it. For people returning to church after falls and after accidents, dear Lord, welcome home to our friends. For families that gather together to worship you, Lord, for people who've chosen to take the time to be here today, we give you thanks. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the majority of my life, I found that one of the most effective ways to deal with just about any problem or unpleasant situation is to simply strike up a bargain. As a little girl, I'd bargain with my brothers, "I'll give you my Milky Ways if you give me your Snickers." With my college roommates, it was, "If you just clean the bathrooms, I will do all the cooking." And it seems that God ends up being the lucky recipient of most of my bargaining, as in, "If you help me pass this test, dear Lord, or get through this sermon, I promise I'll be more prepared next time." I even remember as a 9-year-old bargaining with God on that scary old wooden roller coaster, the Cyclone, at Excelsior Park. Just as we were approaching the top of the final drop, scared out of my gourd, I cried out, "Dear Lord, if you get me off this thing alive, I promise I'll become a nun." Well, a while back, I walked into the front door from work and my youngest son was bellowing from the kitchen, "Mom, come here, I want to show you something." So I walked toward the kitchen and found him grinning from ear to ear, standing over two coolers filled with dead ducks. "Could you please cook these for dinner tonight?" he asked. "Well, how am I supposed to do that?" I thought, looking at the beaks and the feathers and the blood and the feet. Ew. And he said, "Mom, hello, you just peeled the skin and feathers off. Like it's no big deal." I needed a bargain and I needed one fast. "If you can get your dad to clean them, I'll cook them," I said. That same week, my husband Tom and I found ourselves in downtown Minneapolis at a long oval table in the boardroom of an office of law. As all parents of special needs kids do, we sat with an attorney working to petition the court to maintain guardianship of our firstborn son past his upcoming 18th birthday. As we went through the checklist listing all the ways in which our autistic son could not care for himself, my mind and my heart raced back and forth between the present, the past, and the future of the life of this human being that I love with all my heart and mind and soul. For my beautiful little boy on the day he was born with teeny tiny sweet feet to the 6'5" beautiful big boy that was sitting next to me now. Perfectly big, size 14 feet, hairs sprouting from his face, the contradiction of a toddler's mind housed inside a grown man's body. From the boy who loved to swing and blow bubbles to the young adult who needs constant supervision to keep him safe. If love could cure, we would not be sitting in that boardroom on that day. I can't even begin to tell you how many bargains I've tried to make with God on this one. "If you cure my son, God, I'll do anything you want. Anything." And then one day, by the grace of God, it struck me. I needed to make a shift from bargaining to gratitude. You see, I was spending so much time and energy willing my son to be cured, coming up with bigger and better bargains to present to God in order to be deserving of a miracle, that I'd completely lost sight of the fact that God wanted my son's wholeness as much or more than I, that God already knew exactly what we wanted and needed, and that in my efforts to cure my son, I was completely overlooking the here and now with this beautiful angel that God had placed in my care, not to cure, but to cherish and to care for and to love. I needed to understand, to really understand, that the beauty of life does not come only after the bump or at the end of the ride, and if and only if a cure for whatever ails us can be found, but that the beauty of life is to be found in and around and because of the bumps. We read in John, Jesus said to them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. They follow me because they know and trust my voice. I will find them green pasture. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." How many times have I heard those words from the Gospel of John, and how long has it taken me to listen? What is it that keeps you up at night? What problem or pain or guilt or regret do you have that seems insurmountable? Is there someone or something that you are feverishly trying to change or to cure? Or do you, like me, wonder who will love them after we're gone? My hope and prayer for us on this day is that we let these words sink in, to really sink in to our hearts and into our souls. I am the good shepherd. You know my voice. I will lead you to green pasture. I will lay down my life for you. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And when we stop and look back on our lives, on those really tough spots, the things that we thought we would never, ever, ever get through, if we pay attention, I think we will see that God was there, that God is here, and people that surrounded us, and folks that showed up to help, and we did indeed make it through. I look back on this journey of raising and loving someone who will never be able to take care of himself, and I see God shepherding us all along the way. From the day nearly 40 years ago, when Pastor Youngdahl tapped me on the shoulder as a high school kid to volunteer at Rolling Acres, right there in that building on this land, and was so afraid of these strange and unknown people, and I was so busy, I did not have time to do it, I didn't want to do it, but I did because my pastor asked me to do it. Did God know at that time that I would need to learn to be comfortable around these, God's children? Did God have a plan for us even back then? I won't know for sure until I get to the pearly gates and can ask God. But I do know that by letting go and trusting that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would lead me, would lead us, would provide exactly what we needed, living our lives surrounded by these strange people makes us overflow with joy and with laughter and surprises and gratitude. Lord knows I've gone kicking and screaming into much of it while I was still trying to cure our son, trying to have things how I thought they should be. And all along the way, we've met some of the most amazing families and staff, resilient and strong and hardworking and tenacious and loving and faithful and full of hope and humor and gratitude. Saints, all of them. Would I give anything to have a 5-minute conversation with my son to ask him what he thinks and feels and hopes for and dreams. Oh yes, anything and everything. But I have learned to trust that God's got this, that God's got us. Of this I am sure. And Rolling Acres and its life-changing staff have been a piece of that proof. I don't imagine I'll ever completely trade in bargaining for gratitude. I mean, after all, how's gratitude going to help me with a cooler full of dead ducks and beaks? But I did strike up a new bargain with God recently. I'll promise to do my very best to keep my focus on all the blessings and good and love and shepherding that God has given me and my family, if God promises to help me do just that. In this little prayer each day, to focus on our blessings rather than our bumps, helps give us a peaceful and joyful heart. Amen.